Welcome to Jazz Piano Skills. I'm Dr. Bob Lawrence. It's time to discover, learn, and play jazz piano. Well, here we are, week two of the month. And we all know what that means, right? It means that last week we did an extensive harmonic analysis of our tune of the month, which of course is the great jazz standard, There Is No Greater Love. But it also means that this week we will do an extensive melodic analysis of There Is No Greater Love. And next week, an improvisation exploration. Yep, we have a tune study process. We surely do. And it's been set in place, and it feels great. Our harmonic study always analyzes the form of the tune, the standard chord changes, the harmonic function, common harmonic movement, and of course, voicings, left-hand shell structures, as well as two-handed structures. Our melodic study, which we're going to do today, has us learning the melody, by ear of course, using target notes, phrases, lyrics, and we'll also explore some fingerings. We then take a look at the melody and apply various treatments to digest it thoroughly. Without question, our harmonic and melodic studies contain a ton of information that at times, I know, can feel very overwhelming. But I promise this process and all of the jazz piano skills within it will get easier and easier as we continue to march through the year and the years to come, studying jazz standards every month. The bottom line is that there is a sequential order to learn how to play jazz piano, and there is a sequential order to learn how to play tunes. And this sequential order, this process, is stressed and experienced every month. How cool is that? Harmony, form, changes, function, harmonic movement, voicings, melody, ear training, melodic target notes, phrases, lyrics, treatments, and improvisation, chord scale relationships, common tones and zones, arpeggio and scale movement, half-step approachments, and, of course, tension. I mentioned last week that, in previous weeks, that if you have been a faithful Jazz Piano Skills listener for the past 4+ years, you have become intimately familiar with the jazz piano skills needed to actually begin tune study. I also mentioned that if you haven't been grinding along with us over the past 4+ years, no big deal, right? No worries. This is a great time to jump on board and begin developing and enhancing your jazz piano skills. The tune study we are going to be doing every month will help you sift through and prioritize the last 4 years of podcast episodes so that you can begin maximizing your jazz piano skills immediately. So, if you're a jazz piano skills veteran or jazz piano skills rookie, makes no difference. You are in the right place at the right time to begin a jazz piano journey that will have a profound impact on your understanding of music and, of course, on your jazz piano playing. So, today you are going to discover a melodic analysis of the jazz standard, No Greater Love. You're going to learn melody, guide tones, fingerings, phrases, target notes of No Greater Love. And you're going to play 3 different melodic treatments of No Greater Love. Ballad, bossa, swing. So, as I always like to say, regardless of where you are in your jazz journey, a beginner, an intermediate player, an advanced player, or even if you are a seasoned and experienced professional, you're going to find this Jazz Piano Skills podcast lesson exploring No Greater Love to be very beneficial. But before we get started, I want to, as I always do, I want to welcome first-time listeners to the Jazz Piano Skills podcast. If you are indeed a new listener, if you're new to Jazz Piano Skills, I want to invite you to become a Jazz Piano Skills member. Your membership grants you access to the premium content, not only for this podcast episode, but for every weekly podcast episode. Premium content will help you thoroughly and correctly discover, learn, and play the jazz standard we are currently exploring, and so much more. For example, as a Jazz Piano Skills member, you can access the past, the current, the future educational weekly podcast packets. These are the illustrations, the lead sheets, the play-alongs, or the backing tracks that I design and develop to help you get the most out of every weekly Jazz Piano Skills podcast episode. You also have access to a self-paced, a sequential jazz piano curriculum, which is loaded with comprehensive courses containing educational talks, interactive learning media, video demonstrations, and so much more. You also will have a reserved seat in my online weekly masterclass, which is held every Thursday evening. And if you can't attend the class, it's no big deal. Masterclasses are recorded, and you can watch the video and rewatch the video of the class whenever and as often as you wish. As a Jazz Piano Skills member, you also have access to an online interactive fake book containing must-know jazz standards with excellent chord changes, chord scale relationships, harmonic function analysis, listening suggestions, historical insights. And as a Jazz Piano Skills member, you'll enjoy hanging out with some old jazz friends and making some new jazz friends in the online private Jazz Piano Skills community, which hosts a variety of engaging forums. And finally, last but not least, your Jazz Piano Skills membership grants you unlimited, private, personal, and professional educational support whenever and as often as you need it. All of these amazing privileges are waiting for you, wanting to help you discover, learn, and play jazz piano. So when you have a moment, check it all out at jazzpianoskills.com. And of course, become a member to begin enjoying premium podcast content. And of course, all the other privileges that I just mentioned. Of course, if you have any questions, please do not hesitate to contact me. I'm always happy to spend a little time with you, answer any questions that you may have, and help you in any way that I can. All right, speaking of questions, it's on to the question of the week. And this week's question comes from Winston Smart, living right here in Dallas, Texas. I love it. And Winston writes, "Dr. Lawrence, I need your help. I am working on learning the traditional and contemporary shells, and they are not sticking. What I mean is that no matter how much time I put into practicing them, it feels like I can't remember them. I must say, it's more than a little frustrating. Are there specific ways to approach practicing voicings so that I am able to retain them and, of course, use them when playing? Thanks in advance for your help. Looking forward to your insight and tips." Winston. My friend, listen. I promise you, you do not suffer from JRD, which of course stands for Jazz Retention Disorder. You do not suffer from JRD. In fact, what you are experiencing is 100%, I'm going to repeat that again, 100% normal. You are asking the million-dollar question that everyone studying voicings is asking, and of course is searching for the answer. The good news, I do have some insight and tips that will help you. The bad news, it's going to take time, practice, and patience, which I like to call grunt work. But let me offer you some tips. Tip number one, focus on one voicing type at a time. So you mentioned that in your question that you were working on your traditional and contemporary shells, right? So I would say focus on one voicing type at a time. Right, so if you're trying to gain a command of traditional three-note voicings, 3-7-9, 7-3-5 structures, and you're trying to gain a command of the contemporary quarter voicings, then I would definitely pump the brakes and pick one and only one to vote your time to one voicing type, right? All your time, all your energy, all your efforts should be devoted to learning that one voicing type, right? Again, if you get too many variables involved, the waters begin to get muddy very, very quickly. So pick one voicing type and go to work. Okay, that's tip number one. Tip number two, focus on one shape at a time within the voicing type that you are tackling. For instance, if you are focusing on traditional shell voicings, pick either the 379 shape or the 735 shape to study and practice. Again, we want to limit the number of variables, options, when we are trying to solidify our music muscle memory, right? So pick one shape at a time within the voicing type that you are tackling, that you are studying. That's tip number two. Tip number three, have a set list of exercises that you are using to help you gain a conceptual and physical mastery, command of the voicing type and shape. For example, if I am practicing a traditional 379 voicing type and shape, my list of exercises might look like this. Are you ready? Here we go. Exercise number one. I like using half-step movement, ascending and descending from various entry points, right? So if I'm doing a 379 shape that I'm working on, I'll start with C major, go to D flat major, D major, right? E flat major, and so on. I'll work my way up. Now, I won't always start with C, but that's a good spot to start at least at the beginning, but I would have various entry points. I would ascend and descend using that three-note shape, okay, using half-step movement. Exercise number two, I would do the same shape, but now I would use maybe counterclockwise circle movement, right? So now I'm going to play my C major 379, go into my F major 379, to my B flat major 379, and so on. Again, I would use various entry points. Don't always start with C, right? In other words, you know, why not start with F or B flat, right? How about starting on D flat or E or G, and so on? Mix it up, right? But move counterclockwise around the circle. Another exercise I would recommend is minor third movement. So C major 379, going to E flat major 379, to G flat major 379, to A major 379, right? So use that minor third or that diminished chord shape. So maybe use the C diminished chord as my pattern. D flat diminished chord is another pattern. D diminished chord presents yet another pattern, right? So minor third movement. I love that. Another exercise I would recommend is using whole tone movement, right? So we have two different whole tone scales, C major 379 to D major 379 to E major 379 to G flat major 379 and so on, right? Or start with your D flat and move the note D flat and move in whole steps. Again, these are all just various ways to look at the data, to look at the shape, that 379 structure, right? Moving in half steps, counterclockwise circle movement, minor third movement, whole tone movement. Another exercise I would recommend is lead sheet reading for randomization. Now, this can be lead sheets out of a fake book. You could use maybe the JS Standard Collection from iRealPro. It really makes no difference. You're wanting to get your hands on lead sheets that have chord changes. And what I would recommend doing is, if you're working on 3-7-9 major shapes, then every chord change that I see, I would pretend it's a major chord. So it's given me a random list of chords to practice my 3-7-9 shape, right? So this is another great way to do it. And you can go lead sheet after lead sheet after lead sheet. Every letter that you see represents a major chord. Play it as a 3-7-9, okay? And then I would say paper practice, right? Paper practice. I'm going to talk about that in a second. But practice all of these exercises in and out of time, right? Nothing wrong with what I call a think and do approach, right? One day, think and do. You're actually just sitting at the piano and you're playing these shapes, not in time. It's giving you time to think about it and then do it. Followed by maybe the next day, what I call time and context approach, where you're actually using a backing track that you're creating in iRealPro or Band in the Box, whatever application you happen to be using, but you're actually creating an exercise where you have to put these shapes into time and context. Okay, so regardless of the approach that you choose, whether it's a think and do or a time and context approach, be sure to pick one of the exercises that I just mentioned and do that exercise. And that exercise alone for that day, right? So you're not going to try to practice half-step movement, counterclockwise circle movement, minor third movement, whole tone movement, lead sheet reading for randomization movement, right? You're not going to do all those in one sitting, right? Pick one a day. One a day. Okay. And finally, I will close with this. I mentioned earlier paper practice. Do not, under any circumstances, do not neglect paper practice. As the old saying goes, a picture is worth a thousand words. And I cannot begin to tell you how important it is for you to write out the voicings. Write them out. Now, I'm not talking about putting them on staff paper. I'm saying to write them out on good old plain scratch paper. Something you grab out of the garbage can. It makes no scratch paper, right? So you're going to write 3-7-9 voicings. You're going to say C major equals E, B, D. F major, A, E, G. B flat major equals D, A, C, right? You're going to do that for all of your major voicings or all your dominant, minor, whatever sound you're working on, right? Do this when lying on your sofa, sitting at your kitchen table, traveling in a plane, waiting at the car wash. You get my point, right? Wherever you are and you have time to kill, do paper practice. Paper practice. Paper practice. I cannot stress it enough. Okay, great question, Winston. And I hope these tips help. And as always, if further clarification is needed, or if you have any additional questions, please do not hesitate to contact me. Again, I am always happy to spend some time with you and help you in any way that I can. Okay, let's discover Learn Play Jazz Piano. Let's discover Learn and Play No Greater Love, a melodic analysis. Last week I presented, as I always do, my outline for studying and learning any tune. And again, genre makes no difference. I don't care whether it's a jazz tune or your rock, favorite rock tune, pop tune, country tune, folk, R&B, makes no difference. Here's how I approach it. Number one, I listen. Always listen to various artists, vocalists, instrumentalists, and of course, pianists. I listen to various renditions of the tune. Number two, I always start with determining the form of the tune. Every tune has a form. What is it? Is it AABA, ABAB? What is it? Then I like to turn my attention to learning chords, the harmonic structures, the voicings of those chords for that particular tune. I zone in on the common harmonic movement and progressions like 2-5-1 or 1-4-5 that are laced throughout jazz standards and pop tunes and country tunes and so forth. I then, after I have the harmonic foundation in place, I turn my attention to the melody. And I learn the melody by ear. I do not read it off any kind of lead sheet. I learn that melody by ear based on the various renditions of the tune that I am listening to. And then finally, I like to explore, as we will do today, with no greater love, I like to explore various treatments. And then improvisation, which we'll focus on next week. But that's it, right? I listen, determine form, learn chords and voicings, learn the melody, explore treatments, and work on my improvisation. That's it. Nothing more, nothing less, right? Now, last week, we focused on gaining a harmonic familiarity and command of No Greater Love. So we listened, we determined form, we explored the chord changes, we looked at the harmonic function, and we looked at left-hand shell voicings and two-handed voicings for No Greater Love. This week, today, we turn our attention to a melodic analysis of No Greater Love. Our goal, always, is to keep things really clean, really tidy with our approaches, whether it's harmonic approach, melodic approach, whether it's a scale study or tune study, right? Makes no difference. Always clean, always tidy. Our conceptual understanding of all that we do musically must be structured, organized, and simple so that it can be replicated over and over and over again, right? Just exactly like we're doing with our tune study. And y'all can attest to the fact that I have said it many times and will continue to say it many times that if your conceptual understanding of music or any musical skill is not structured, it's not organized, it's not simple, then it's unorganized and it's confusing. And if it's unorganizing and confusing, conceptually, you're in trouble. You are in trouble. So if it's unorganized and confusing conceptually upstairs, the bad news is you have absolutely no shot, zero chance of executing it in your hands downstairs on the piano. Therefore, I try very hard to keep everything very structured, very simple, very organized, very replicatable with our tune study approach. So, with that in mind, the educational agenda for today is as follows. Number one, we are going to begin part two, a melodic analysis to discover, learn, and play No Greater Love. Number two, we are going to listen to a recording of No Greater Love. Number three, we will analyze the melody of No Greater Love. Number four, we will discuss the melodic fingerings for No Greater Love. Number five, we will discover, learn, and play the melodic phrases of No Greater Love. Number six, we will discover, learn, and play the melodic target notes of No Greater Love. Number seven, we will discover, learn, and play the melody with voicings for No Greater Love. And number eight, we will discover, learn, and play three different treatments of No Greater Love. So as always, we have a ton to get done, right? So if you are a Jazz Piano Skills member, I want you to hit the pause button right now. Take a few minutes to download and print your podcast packets, the illustrations, the lead sheets, and the play-alongs. And again, your membership grants you access to premium content for every weekly podcast episode, which of course includes all of the educational podcast packets. And I mention it every week, you should have these podcast packets in your hands when listening to this episode to get the most out of it. And of course, you want these materials, these podcast packets, sitting on the piano when practicing. So if you're listening to this podcast on any of the popular podcast directories, such as Apple or Google, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Amazon, Pandora, the list goes on, then go directly to jazzpianoskillspodcast.com. jazzpianoskillspodcast.com. And you will find the active download links for each of the podcast packets in the show notes. Or you can log into your Jazz Piano Skills account and from your dashboard, navigate to this episode where you will find one convenient link to download all three podcast packets in one convenient bundle. Okay, so now that you have your podcast packets in your hands, I want you to grab the lead sheets. The lead sheets. And you should have a total of 6 different lead sheets. 6. Now, lead sheet 1 provides you a great template for learning the melody of No Greater Love using your ears, of course. And of course, that lead sheet has the melodic guide tones to help you discover the melody. Okay, lead sheet 2 provides you with the actual melody of No Greater Love that you can check your work against, right? Lead sheet 3 provides you with the fingerings used for the melody of No Greater Love. Lead sheet 4 highlights, 7 phrases? Yes, 7 phrases that we'll use for developing the melody of No Greater Love. Lead sheet 5 illuminates the target notes used for melodic and improvisational development. And then finally, lead sheet 6 combines the melody with the voicings that we took a look at last week, putting it all together for No Greater Love. No question about it, right? Some invaluable tools to help us discover, learn, and play No Greater Love. So let's get busy. What's the very first thing we do when studying and learning a tune? Right? We do it every month. We do it every week, right? We listen because that should be the first thing we do. I stressed it last week. I stressed it the weeks before. That listening to various renditions of a tune that we are learning is not only the first, but I believe the most important step. Again, I can't imagine attempting to learn a tune before spending a lot of time checking it out and listening to various artists perform that tune. I want to absorb every aspect of it that I possibly can. Now, I typically listen to vocal renditions like we did last week. We checked out, the one and only Dinah Washington. And after I listen to vocalists, then I like to turn my attention to instrumentalists. And of course, and then I'll turn my attention to pianist, right? So I kind of do it in that order. You don't have to do it like that. You can do it in any order that you like. It really makes no difference. The idea is to listen and to listen a lot. So, like I said, last week we listened to the one and only Dinah Washington, a vocal rendition. This week we're going to turn our attention to an instrumental rendition, kind of. In other words, it's a vocal / instrumental combo. It's vocalist singing and performing as instrumentalist. So it's a twofer. Now, I thought, you know what? I have to do a little promotion of my alma mater. I don't do it enough. The University of North Texas, which is without doubt the greatest collegiate jazz program in the world, period. In the world, period. So I need to promote that a little more, right? Promote my alma mater. So here is a version of No Greater Love performed by the UNT Jazz Singers back in 2017. So I want you to grab your cup of coffee or your favorite beverage. I want you to sit back and enjoy this remarkable and swinging rendition of this jazz standard, No Greater Love. Check this out.
There is no greater love than what I feel for you. sweeter song than what you sing to me. You're the sweetest thing I have ever known. And to think that you are mine alone. There is no greater love in all the world, it's true. No greater love than what I feel for you.
Pretty amazing, right? Not bad for a bunch of college kids. My days at UNT, North Texas State back in my day, were fantastic days. Such a great environment, so many great memories and friendships, all centered around jazz. Okay, I better stop, man, or I'm going to be going down memory lane for for several hours. So now let's explore those lead sheets. So grab lead sheet one. Let's discover how to properly begin learning the melody of No Greater Love using our ear. Thank you for listening to Jazz Piano Skills. The remaining premium content of this episode is available to Jazz Piano Skills members at jazzpianoskillspodcast.com. Visit jazzpianoskills.com to learn more about membership privileges and become a Jazz Piano Skills member. Thank you.